And this right here is one of our most common and frequent errors that we must be so on guard in our minds and hearts, because it causes so much unnecessary pain and anxiety when we allow it. It's when we allow our circumstances to dictate God's love for us, as opposed to God's love to dictate our circumstances. And church, this is the great power of beholding your God. The moment we look up from ourselves, we look up from our sin, we look up from our circumstances, the moment we look up and behold our God, this is the light and the love of God, which chases away the lies of the enemy.
I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light, another important message for us today. Robbie is in our studio with me today, and Robbie, this past year, we've seen, even lately, just how fragile we are, how tired, how exhausted we can get. Maybe it's the age I'm living in, maybe it's the times we're all in, you know, probably both, but either way, a really, really important message for us all today, right, Robbie?
Yeah, definitely all the above to what you just said there, Greg, for sure. That is so true. Hey, I'm hoping that you've been tracking with us on Isaiah 40 and you've been amazed at the detail of this chapter with one specific intention. He's like, hey, people, stop looking at yourself. Look up at me. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's nothing he cannot do. He is so great, so awesome, so wonderful, so amazing. Even as we say these things out loud, it does change your perspective. And again, the detail in scripture. And today we move towards the end of Isaiah 40, where the whole purpose is God's like, listen, I'm the God who renews your strength. I am the one who is inexhaustible in grace and power and might and glory. And if you look to me and you run to me and you trust in me, I will show you again that those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. And so that's what I need to hear today. And that's what the Lord says to us today. And that's why this chapter is so perfect today. And that's why we need to listen. We need to listen hard today as well. The Lord means what he says. And he says some pretty encouraging things today. A familiar verse, but what leads up to it is so powerful as well, right? Because the people of God, they were so discouraged. They were tempted towards despair as we start our message. But then they end with the truth that their God is inexhaustible. So as always, as the Lord is working in your heart, especially now in these tough times, we'd love to hear. Please take the time. Send an email. Give a phone call. Let us know how the Lord is working. We need your support trying to reach people again across this land through this ministry. So it means so much to us. But again, so encouraged for you to be encouraged by the truth of God's word today.
All right. Now, before we get to today's message, as Robbie said, please do not forget to reach out to us and let us know how Live in the Light has been encouraging you. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that through our website at liveinthelight.ca or through our phone number at 1-844-22-LIGHT. And again, all those details will be available for you at the end of the program also. All right, well, let's get to today's teaching and join Pastor Robbie in Isaiah 40 for a much needed message, I'm sure, for many of us out there. Let's all behold our inexhaustible God together.
Again, glad you're with us right now. And please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. That's right, you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm patient, I can wait. Go grab it. Some of you may pause right now, run upstairs, grab it from your bedroom, whatever it is. Some of you need to get up, whatever, and wipe some sleep out of your eyes and get to the Bible. Again, especially today, if you are faint and feeling weary, you gotta get a copy of God's word in front of you today. I said, I'll wait. Waiting, just joking. Love you so much. All right, Bible's open to Isaiah chapter 40, and we conclude today with our series called Behold Our God. Behold your God, behold our God. I believe this has been just what the Holy Spirit has ordered for our church family. Isaiah 40 is a massive dose of perspective with the potential of supernatural peace as we seek to behold perfection. Remember, this was the goal of this chapter 2,600 years ago for God's people, and the same thing is true by the Holy Spirit today. The same goal applies, that we would know again perspective and peace as we behold perfection. Let's recap where we've been. Week number one, beholding the wondrous sovereignty of our God. Week number two, beholding the awesome glory of our God. And today in week three, we see this. We seek to behold the inexhaustible power, the endless supply of strength and glory of our one and only God. Oh, the utter encouragement to look up and to see a God. Listen, who's this for? To look up at a God, to see a God who never tires, never worries, never loses, never stresses. Beholding a God who is limitless in power, limitless in strength, limitless in energy and life-changing glory. This is our passage today as we behold our inexhaustible God. Can you imagine being inexhaustible in power and strength? That is our God. I, by the way, am the opposite of this, weak and frail and sinful and inadequate and insufficient. And so brought down by burdens and awareness again of my own sinfulness and inability to do apart from God what he asks of me. Man, we need to behold our inexhaustible God. So Bibles are open, I know. Now, Isaiah 40 verse 27, take a look. We heard some of this. Let's just hear it again before we jump in officially. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord? And my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Amen. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait, for the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm excited for today. Today is going to be great. But do notice how today begins. It begins by being not great. Our text starts not so great. Takes us to point number one, which is an important admission right now. Point number one, we will be tempted towards despair. Like, thanks, Robbie, for that pep talk of encouragement. I know, but God's word's important. It sets up what's coming. In our lives, in our day, in our time, in our hearts, we corporately will be tempted towards doubt. We will be tempted towards discouragement, and yes, we will at times be tempted towards despair. This is the great tactic of Satan himself. He deceives us to lead us to cause us to be despairing within ourselves. Look at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Why do you say, Jacob, Israel, and my right is disregarded by my God? So in the midst of awesome glory of Isaiah 40, here right now, verse 27, we see inserted statements of despair among God's people. Why? The Jewish people, they were exiled in Babylon. It's been decades. They're losing hope. They begin to say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord is not caring for us. Where is the justice of God? Why are my rights being disregarded by him? Has he forgotten about me altogether? This is where God's people have gotten to in verse 27. Let me just make a few observations right here. In verse 27, notice this is what sin does. Sin blinds us to the truth of God. This is what a lack of faith does. It sows seeds of unbelief towards the promises of God. And this is what Satan does. Satan seeks to lie to us about the character of God. Now, what I just said is very, very important biblical counseling. Let's put it out on the screen so we can see and have a recap here again, because this is so important to acknowledge in our own hearts and lives the process of how we get to despair, right? Doubt, discouragement, despair, right? Sin blinds us to the truth of God. When we sin, it causes us to be unable to see the truth of what God has promised to us. This is what a lack of faith does. A lack of faith causes us to disbelieve. It sows seeds of unbelief towards the very promises of God. And of course, this is all fueled by Satan. This is so important too. Notice, Satan, he lies to us about the very character of God. And so if we allow ourselves to start going down this spiral, this will lead then ultimately to despair, which is why so many even right now are tempted with this in the times that we live right now. And that last part too about Satan, this is such a massive point of insight. Because listen carefully, one of Satan's most foremost tactics is to lie to us about the love of God. Let me say that again. One of Satan's most foremost tactics, church, is to lie to us about the very love of God. John Knox, the incredibly powerful Scottish reformer, he said this, by what means Satan first drew mankind from the obedience of God. He's saying, what was Satan's strategy to first draw human beings, Adam and Eve, from the obedience of God? The scripture tells us, and here's what the scripture tells us. To wit, he says, by pouring into their hearts that poison. What's the poison? That God did not love them. This is one of Satan's greatest designs of poisoning our minds and therefore our hearts and our souls to start us to believe and hear the whispers, God does not love you. God does not love you. God does not love you. And the moment that consideration is taken in and we start to bite into that apple, so to speak, is the moment we head down a path that will never end up in any good way. Isn't this so important to point out right now as where we see in verse 27 where the people of God arrived? But even as I point these things out right now, Satan hates it. He hates right now so much because his strategies are being exposed. Some of us right now, we are tempted in a place to doubt the love of God. We have bought into the lies that God does not care, that God does not see, that God does not know, or God has not heard. I just want to be honest with you right now, today, this morning, that I was tempted this very week as to such darkness. The last 2 weeks and this very week, I was tempted in significant ways, I feel my own life and heart, to be tempted towards such darkness. And again, just pastoral transparency for you right now too. It is both frightening and striking how quickly you can be led to thoughts of despair, at least in that direction where you start to see in such a clouded vision that you forget the truth that has carried you for so many years and even decades now. It's interesting, in verse 27, look closely, the tenses used here indicate a prevailing mood. Do you see the word hidden? The word hidden is used to denote a settled fact, right? So the people have drawn their conclusions already about God. It's a settled fact. Our way is hidden from him. Do you see the word disregarded? Look there. The word disregarded is used in a tense indicating a continuous experience, right? So when they say my right is disregarded, what they're really saying is it will always be this way. It's never gonna change. It's always gonna be this way. God doesn't see, he never will. It's basically doom and gloom. It's over, let's just give up. This is the tense of the words that are being used right here. And this formula or this path is a recipe for despair. God's people in exile, by the way, many of us feel like we're in exile right now, huh? I mean, it's almost like reverse. These people were exiled from their home. We're exiled to our homes. Can't gather together. Can't be where we desire to be so much. Again, I just want to be honest with you, man. I'm feeling it. You know, waking up yesterday morning and staring out and you can kind of see and just say, man, all the things we can't do. Many of us feel like we're exiled. I have so much grace for you. It's in their discouragement, in this place that leads them to start to doubt the love, the care, the strength of the Lord upon their lives. And this right here is one of our most common and frequent errors that we must be so on guard in our minds and hearts, because it causes so much unnecessary pain and anxiety when we allow it. What is it? It's this. Let me just summarize maybe this section with this statement. It's when we allow our circumstances to dictate God's love for us, as opposed to God's love to dictate our circumstances. In fact, that's so important. Let's put that on the screen for us so we can see together. We are in trouble when we allow our circumstances to dictate God's love for us, as opposed to God's love to instruct and to dictate to us our circumstances. Let's let God's people chew on that and decide where that applies in their life right now. Yes, Holy Spirit, work, draw us to you. Draw us to repentance, draw us to faith, draw us to see your love. It's your love that dictates our circumstances, not the other way around. But the accusation of the evil one here for God's people in verse 27 is that God has failed them, and that is a lie that must be silenced. And church, this is the great power of beholding your God. The moment we look up from ourselves, we look up from our sin, we look up from our circumstances, the moment we look up and behold our God, this is the light and the love of God which chases away the lies of the enemy. Isn't it so true? Like just in the worship this morning, I pray in that wonderful worship set and our team leading us so well. And we look up at the Lord and we see his glory and the gospel and the truth and the hope. It's there that Satan cannot dwell. He flees, darkness screams and runs away because the truth of the gospel, he shall return. He shall return. Us presented in robes of white, the blazing fire of the Lord Jesus Christ, how awesome that is going to be. God help us. God help us to understand we will be tempted towards despair, but it cannot end there. This takes us to point number two now, which is this. This is when our theology becomes indispensable. This is when our theology becomes indispensable. What we mean is, if evil lies lead me away from the Lord, then it's the truth of God that brings me back to the Lord. And this is why verse 28 follows verse 27. Look at verse 28. He's like, wait, time out. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Look what he does. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. So similar to Isaiah 40, verse 21, Isaiah is saying to the people, wait, people, have you not known? Surely you've been taught. Have you not heard? In some ways, he's saying, people, you know better. You know the truth. But your life must live the truth here. One commentator calls the people in verses 27, leading to verse 28, one commentator calls them practical atheists, meaning they say they believe, but they live as atheists. They profess to be believers, they profess to be Christians, but when it comes down to it and the rubber hits the road and the trials come upon them, then all of a sudden they switch and they live practically as atheists, as though their God they say they believe in doesn't really exist and moves in the way he says that he promises to. Sit on that for a second. That's a good comment. That's challenging for us. It's challenging for us. And you know what? These past 10, 11 months, has exposed many practical atheists. It has. Sure, I'll believe in God or serve God when things are going great, when everything's kind of going my way, but when things get really tough, all of a sudden, the wheat and the chaff are exposed. But these last 10, 11 months, you know what's also exposed? It's also exposed many deeply sincere, wonderfully beautiful Christians who love Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's also revealed that. Again, look at verse 28. I want you to stare at God's word today. It's so important. Have you not known? Have you not heard? And notice what happens here. The doctrine of the Lord begins to be unpacked. The doctrine of the Lord and how important this is, the true theology of our God. And by the way, again, I want you to see here, notice from verse 27, in despair, the answer from God is theology, is knowledge, is doctrine of himself. Make sure you see that. This is such an important point right now. The people are discouraged. The people are in doubt. The people are tempted or in despair. And God says his answer to them is him. His answer is himself. His answer is a theology of who God is. Now, I'm telling you, in the days that we live and the days where we're going, the churches who lack a proper theology and doctrine of the word and of God, they won't make it, and they're not making it. Like, they're not making it right now. It's not even an if, it's an actuality of when. And I'm telling you this too, okay? The believers, the professed Christians who are not rooted deep in a theology of God and a knowledge of who he is, they will not make it also. I cannot stress this to you enough. The time is upon us now, church. The time is here. Only those rooted in the good soil will last. And one of the greatest determinations of perseverance and endurance and lasting for the things of Christ is you have to be on a bedrock foundation of the knowledge of God through proper theology in him. Those who are weak in his word are not going to make it. As pastor of this church, and as much as I can implore you and challenge you, again, every announcement we make, every course we offer, every time we're in the word right now, we can only go so far. You have to also grow in the knowledge and authority of the word of God in discipleship, and those who do will persevere to the end. It's going to be the great testing ground in the days to come. It's already upon us. You can see how passionate I am about that because I think it will be the absolute difference maker between those who do really well in Christ in the midst of difficulty and those who fade away and are pulverized by our culture and whatever else is happening. Again, I just want you to see from verse 27 and what God's response is in verse 28. It is so utterly critical. He unpacks a theology of himself, and his theology is our God is eternal. He is the creator of all things. He is inexhaustible in strength. He possesses unlimited and perfect wisdom. That's the resume of our God right there. What does this mean? It means your God is the best. No one else comes close. It means he cannot fail you. It means he created you. It means he perfectly oversees you. Wow, does it encourage me to read in verse 28 where it says again, he does not grow faint or grow weary. Does that encourage you like it encourages me? That theology fires me up so much. Why? Because I'm so weak. Because I'm so weak. And yet my God never tires. I mean, honestly, church, isn't it so encouraging to look up and to say, man, wow, God, what's it like to never tire? What's it like to never have to sleep? What's it like to never worry and to never grow weary? What's it like to be impervious to any kind of attack? What's it like to just be perfectly strong every single day in infinite glory? What's it like to be like that? And yet this is the God we belong to. Isn't it so encouraging to look up and say, I belong to him. That's my father. My father rocks. He's unstoppable. He's unshakable. Limitless in strength and grace. But you see, this is where their theology becomes indispensable. Even as I say this right now, some of you are looking up for the first time in maybe weeks and seeing that's true, that's right, he is that, and the hope that starts to come down. The theology that leads us again to be reminded of who it is we actually serve. And by the way, in verse 28, unpacking the greatness and glory of our God, let me ask you this. Don't you think you should want to spend some time with this God who's that awesome? Like, don't you think you want to spend a few moments each day praying to him and in his word to grow closer to him, to know him more, to love him more? Because again, isn't that the best time we could ever spend, church? Isn't it? What else would we want to do? This is the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who doesn't grow faint or grow weary. You got to get as close to God as you can, you know? Rub off that on me, Lord. I need you right now. Man, that's so true in our day. So true. Just to recap where we've been, I will be tempted towards despair. This is when my theology becomes indispensable. And number three, now we must allow our weakness to become his strength. Look at verse 29. He gives power to the faint, the heart of our prayer meeting this Wednesday, 7 p.m. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Look at the life-altering promises in verse 29. By the way, is that verse underlined in your Bible yet? I encourage you this week, print out that verse, put it in front of you where you can see it every day. Just meditate on that verse, read that verse, believe that verse. He gives power to the faint. It's interesting here. See the word faint? It refers to those who are failing under life's pressures. Anyone feel that way? The phrase has no might is weakness, or the one who has no vigor or vitality. Anyone feel that way? Notice the phrase of either faint, this is important. Notice the phrase either of the word faint or grow weary. That is the key to these verses. Faint or grow weary occurs seven times in verses 29 to 31. Seven times. Faint or grow weary is mentioned seven times from verses 29 to 31. Obviously, this is important to the Lord right now in the Holy Spirit. He's addressing those who are faint or feel like they're becoming weary. Who are the faint, though, in these passages? The faint are those who are complaining in verse 27. In verse 27, Ray Orland says this. He says, they are the weak in faith. Their fatigue is spiritual. They're weak in courage. They feel like quitting. Wonder the author of Hebrews says to the believers for all time, but you have need of endurance. I was searching for a book this week that I love. I've read several times over many years. And for some reason, it was right in front of me all of these days, and I just couldn't find it. Finally, I did find it. It's the book Roots of Endurance by John Piper. Again, I finally found it. I opened it up, and the first quote I saw was this on the screen for you. Here's what he says. He says, I know that I am in great measure a child of my times. And one of the pervasive marks of our times is emotional fragility. It hangs in the air we breathe. We are easily hurt. We pout and mope easily. We blame easily. We break easily. Our marriages break easily. Our faith breaks easily. Our happiness breaks easily. And our commitment to the church breaks easily. We are easily disheartened, and it seems we have little capacity for surviving and thriving in the face of criticism and opposition. That quote's always been found for me to be very convicting and very inspiring at the same time. You know, one of the questions we need to ask, maybe this is in part why the Lord has allowed us to be in this season for 11 months now. Maybe. You say, what do you mean by that? Maybe we've become too soft. Maybe the church in this part of the world has become too soft. I don't know ultimately. But what I do know is that a lack of fruit found within that quote is a result from beholding self. The more we behold ourselves, the more we become fragile and up and down with every single wave that comes upon us.
Thanks for listening to us today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Or you can contact us by mail. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, L6L6X9. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.